Well, the good news is I'm preaching on stress tonight, so Brother Dewey, that'll help you with every time they throw a song at you you don't know. Brother Mike is under the weather tonight, called him this afternoon, asked if I would take the preaching, kind of a pinch hitter, really. And so you never know what you're going to get when the preacher is the pinch hitter. He may decide to swing for the fences or just bunt, I'm not sure. I think tonight we'll just take a single into the outfield go that route. I got to say, I went home this afternoon. I wasn't sure if I was preaching or not, so I started working on a message, and I got to 2 o'clock. Jessica can attest to it. Had the computer out there on my lap, was working on it, and I didn't like it. And I don't know if this has ever happened to you at your job. And I don't know the guys on the line at Toyota, the gals there. I don't know them. You're like, I don't like that Camry. Let's do it over again. But I didn't like it. And so I thought, well, we'll go with another one that I had. I have several of them that are just like in a grab bag where things that are ideas that God somewhere along the way in the last year or so put on your heart. You sit down, you write it down, you start working through it. And so truthfully, this message is probably most apt for me because around 2:30, I felt a little stressed about making sure everything was done in time for church. And so thankfully, when I opened this file on the computer, it didn't help, by the way, that our internet is out at our house. And so I'm working blind. I'm like, oh, well, we'll see if it works. And it did. It all worked fine. Nate and I got up here about 3:45 and got everything printed out and ready to go. So we're in good shape tonight. So the title of the message is, So You're Stressed. Yeah, that's probably true for most of us, isn't it? Well, let's read in the Word of God, beginning in Isaiah chapter number 40. How many have heard a message preached from Isaiah 40 and verse 31? Now, when I read the verse, you'll all go, oh, yeah, I have. But right now, you're being very timid, like, maybe I've heard a message preached from there. Tell me what the verse says. Well, let's read it and we'll find out what the verse says for us. We begin our reading in verse number 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Father, help us this evening as we come around the Word of God. Lord, as we reflect upon the world that we live in, we are mindful that there are artificial stressors out there everywhere. Lord, may we be able to declutter our lives and see through the fog that technology most often brings to us. And may we understand and may we sit in these quiet moments and understand the importance, the absolute essential nature that it is to wait and to rest in you. Help us this evening, I pray, as we look into the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. To say that most Americans are emotionally stressed today might be the understatement of 2020. I don't know. Every time I look on the internet or I read an article in the newspaper, which I read on the internet, anytime I look at those headlines, I realize that there's nothing that should shock us anymore in 2020. And many of the folks that I talk to and many of the folks that I rub shoulders with that are not necessarily in the church but out in the world, you can see a constant look of strain, stress, depression, and fatigue weighing upon them. It would be easy if we could just say, well, we solved your problem like that. But the problems didn't come on like that. And so as we consider our own stress level, we have to understand where the help comes from. In Isaiah chapter 40, and Isaiah is an interesting book to study to be sure, we find a transition in the writing of the prophet. If you will go back to the first verses of Isaiah 40, knowing the context within which a verse comes to us helps us understand the verse's purpose for us. In Isaiah chapter number 40, we find there is a message from the prophet, but there's a transition in the message from the prophet. Everything up and to chapter 39 has been dealing with that punishment that is going to come upon him, that problem that was on Israel, the judgment that God was bringing because of their sinfulness in themselves. And it's very interesting that in verse or chapter 40, it pivots and hope begins to come in. Now, there's a lot of judgment still beyond chapter 40, but chapter 40 and forward, there's a lot more hope for us. Now, it's interesting as well, if you take Isaiah as a book, there are 66 chapters. How many books are there in the Bible? 66. If you carefully read the book of Isaiah, you will note the beginning in chapter 40, they have very much a New Testament flavor to them. They certainly look forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. They certainly look forward to the age of grace. And so that's just free preaching tonight, but it certainly sets the context for Isaiah chapter number 40. In fact, in Isaiah chapter number 40, here's what the message pivots to. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. Cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received the Lord's hand double for all her sins. In other words, judgment is passed. The payment is made. Well, who's going to make that payment? The Lord Jesus Christ. In verses 3, 4, and 5, we would find that the prophet gives a foreshadowing of John the Baptist, his ministry, his work that would come. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. It is the coming of the Christ, the Messiah, on the heels of the ministry and the work of John the Baptist. From there, beginning in verse number 6 down through the end of chapter 40, what you find is God's strength and man's weakness. Well, that's the truth of the gospel message, isn't it? God's strength and man's weakness. It is within this context, it is within this structure of the prophecy, it is within this message that God chooses to give to us that wonderful and hopeful verse of verse 31. In other words, the reader of Isaiah would have struggled to understand the full meaning of it. Though they could have grasped it, though they could have hung on to it, though they could have clinged to it with hope, they would not have been able, like we do, to understand the fullness of the meaning of what we have in Christ, how we actually rest in Him. And so as we look at the world around us and find things falling apart, the emotional fatigue, the physical drain, and the spiritual defeat can be overcome. You can overcome mask fatigue. Isn't that a stressor? Could you imagine in 2019 if I told you you'd be stressed out by wearing a mask all the time? And the answer is no. You would not have thought one, you would not have given it one second of thought. Why? Because it was so foreign to our thinking. But yet today, you walk in a store, or as I was the other day, was a gentleman at a restaurant. I got up after having lunch and started walking away from the table, mask in hand, ready to put it on, and I got a, put your mask on! Oh, sorry. I took a half step away from where it was okay. It brings stress, doesn't it? The young lady that hollered at me like she was a middle linebacker on a football team did not seem fazed when I said, whoa, calm down. And so I dutifully put my Trump mask on and walked out of the building. That'll probably make us lose our tax exemption. See, this is what happens when you let me preach and I haven't planned for it. Life is stressful. And while we come to church and are refreshed, and that's one of the main or chief function of worship, to be renewed, to be restored, to be refreshed together. While we have this privilege, there are 168 hours in a week. And there are a lot of problems that we face. So this evening, what I want us to do is just walk through a solution to stress. We have to note first the problem of stress in your outlines, and that's found in verses 29 and 30. What is stress? My spouse, some of you might say. Well, no, that's not your stress. My bank account, my job, politicians, whatever. Those aren't. Stress is really just something that is within us. By the way, stress itself is not sinful. It can certainly become sinful. I heard one person say it this way: stress is the gap between the demands we face and our ability to meet them. That's where stress is. But there are demands upon us. There are expectations, whether they are real or imagined, there are expectations on us, and those demands are beyond our capacity to meet those demands. That's what brings stress so often in our lives. In verse 29, the Bible says, "He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth their strength." Here we find those who are in distress or stressful situations are those who are faint and those who have no might. He says in verse 30, "Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall." There seems to be often in the lives of individuals, and especially many believers today, a deep divide and chasm between what we ought to do, some have called it the ought to's, and the can'ts. I know I ought to, I just can't. And it creates stress in our life. It overwhelms us. Stress affects all walks of life, by the way. It affects every age of life. When you're young, you do not worry about slipping and falling in your kitchen. When you're old, you do. When you're old, you usually don't worry about your retirement savings. When you're young, you do. There's all kinds of stresses for all kinds of ages of life. And so stress is not something that a particular generation is devoid of. It's just different. It's still stress. When we are stressed, we are especially vulnerable to attacks from Satan and the flesh. The story goes, as the children of Israel were departing from Egypt, and they were headed to the promised land, Amalek assaulted them. Moses wrote of it in Deuteronomy 25, verses 17 and 18. He says, "Remember what Amalek did unto thee, by the way, when you were come forth out of Egypt, how he met thee, by the way, and smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were, notice, those that were feeble behind thee, when thou wast faint and weary." He feared not God. Amalek is always a type of the flesh in the Bible. And here's what we find. As those children were making their way to the promised land, as that called out assembly of God, that nation of Israel, was making their way in the wilderness to the promised land, it was the old flesh that found its way in and marked those who were feeble, those who were frail, and those who were fainting. And that's who it attacked. By the way, that's what stress will do. It will mark you, it will weigh on you, and it will allow your flesh to assault you in an attack. We have on one side in our lives, in this problem of stress, true responsibilities, real necessities, and genuine opportunities. These are all things that we recognize. That's my responsibility. That is a need in my family. That is an opportunity I should seize. And all of those, on one hand, cause us to fall into a state of being stressed or pressured. On the other hand, we have our own inabilities, we have our weaknesses, and even our own ignorance in certain areas. Sometimes we are stressed, and rightly so, because of the things we don't know. Ask any person that's had a diagnosis from a doctor who's received news of their health that was not what they had ever designed or desired, and talk to me about their stress level then. Sometimes not knowing is the worst part of it all. When we consider the prophet's point, he is telling Israel that there are two problems in their present approach, or what they were doing to deal with their stress. Notice in verse 29, he says they were faint. In verse 29, he said they had no might. They were frail. In verse 30, he says they were faint and they were weary. They were faltering. So we have two thoughts in your notes, and I'm going to give them to you rapidly. In verse 29, you will see that the prophet says to them, the problem with stress is that your efforts will always fail. Always. Well, I mean, I can fake it for a while. You can fake an appearance to the outward world, but you're not going to take away the inward stress when you're trying to do it in your own strength or you're trying to do it by your own ability. You're not going to remove the stress that is mounting in your life. When you're doing it, it's your problem. It's no one else's. When you rely upon God and put it onto God, as we're going to see in just a few moments, guess whose problem becomes? It becomes God's problem. You see, your efforts will cause you to fail, but secondly, we see your energy will ultimately falter. It will falter in verse number 30. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. The picture that is being painted here is of physical strength or physical prowess. He says, look, I don't care how young you are. And by the way, isn't it an amazing thing to watch all of our kids run around this church? I'm boundless energy. And most of us say, I wish I had their energy. The prophet here says, even if you had their energy, it wouldn't take away the stress. Your energy, the pressure that it brings upon you, ultimately will still break you down. Your energy, your efforts will fail and they will falter. Well, it brings us, thankfully, to verse 31. Verse number 31. The problem of stress in verse 31 gives way to the provision of strength. So how do we solve the problem? Well, maybe not quite like Maria in the Sound of Music, but we'll do it like the prophet Isaiah here. And some of you got that joke. How do you solve a problem? Like Maria. We solve it like Isaiah here in Isaiah chapter number 40. And we note what the Bible says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. I think I said 30, I meant 31. Let me start by saying this, as I noted in the beginning. It is not a sin to be under stress. It is not a sin to be in distress or stressed out, as we might say. That's probably a term from the 90s. But it is a sin to forsake the help and provision that God makes available to properly handle the stress. That's where the sin enters. Back to verses 29 and 30. I'll fix it. I'll do it. I can survive it. It's just what I have to do. Well, why don't we turn it over to God? This is something that's very personal to me. It's probably why in recent days I have studied it so much. And it's why I think this afternoon the message I was going to preach, the Lord said, no, there's one that you know very, very well. You're learning yourself to deal with stress. I mean, we've been through quite a transition in the last 9 to 10 months here. Not just staff, not just COVID, but with a lot of things. On a personal side, I don't know if any of you or most of you may know, I don't know. We're, as a family, building a house. That's not easy. We got a great contractor, and that makes it easy. But it's not easy. It's stressful, right? We're in the process, this is news for some of you, I figure it's family time tonight, we can just talk like this. We're in the process of hiring a new staff member. I've had 3 or 4 interviews with them and they've gone wonderfully well. Next weekend, the young couple will be here visiting us. I'm not stressed, are you? If you all are watching, Zach, it's going to be fine, all right? The point is, there's all kinds of layers to life that layer upon stress. I'm thankful for a godly wife that doesn't add to my stress. I'm thankful for generally obedient children that don't add to my stress. But in truth, every part of life is a layer of stress that stacks upon itself. And so eventually you feel like you're just in a vice, and if you don't know how to properly handle it, you even can be stressed by people saying to you, you shouldn't be so stressed. Right? Or I'm worried about your stress. Well, I'm glad you are. I'm not. I got a verse for that. And so as we understand it, the way in which we overcome stress is through strength, but not our strength. His. That's the provision. Notice the provision with me here in verse 31. First, it comes with patience. It comes with patience. They that wait upon the Lord. Waiting's hard, isn't it? It's hard. we were talking with the deacons yesterday. We had the annual budget meeting to get set for the coming 2021 year. And one of the things we're also talking about is why we're not having church together on Sunday morning. Is it because of COVID? No, they didn't talk like that. That's just how my brain thinks. Is it because of COVID? No, it's not because of COVID. It's because we don't have any room. Guess what that means for the church family? We're going to have to do some building. Oh, that's stressful. It is, right? So how do you solve that problem? You start to wait. Well, that's not how you solve a problem. Well, it is if you want to be stress-free. If you want to deal with stress, you start by waiting. Wait and wait, and God will work the solution to its natural conclusion. It comes with patience, they that wait upon the Lord. Secondly, it comes in power. It says in the same verse that they will renew, or he will renew their strength. It's not just in patience, but it's in power. The word power here, I mean it by that I mean enabling. The renewal of strength is a refreshing or a reviving of strength. And look, life is stressful. There's a lot of times we just need to hit the restart button. Well, how do you do that as a Christian? And the answer is you go to the Lord and say, I'm just going to wait right here in your presence. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday morning, as you in your Bible reading, God, I'm just going to wait right here. I'm going to continue to do what I know is right, but I'm going to wait right here. I'm laying the problem or the issue or the concern before you, and I'm just going to wait until you renew my ability, strength in this area, or help me to solve that problem. It comes with patience, it comes in power, and third, it comes to every person. You say, well, how do you find that in verse 31? You have people that are flying, you have people that are running, and you have people that are walking in verse 31. Which one are you? And the answer is it depends on the day, right? It depends on how the kids are acting, the moms are saying. It depends on how the job is going, the dads are saying. It depends on how my parents are behaving, the kids are saying. And the point is, all walks of life, every person is given this promise, this provision of strength. It's interesting when you study each of these three, it talks about an eagle. They shall mount up with wings as eagle. The eagles love storms. I didn't know that until I started this sermon. That's most of the reading that I did this afternoon. Did you know that eagles, when the storm front rolls across, especially the plains of America, those eagles that live in South Dakota and North Dakota, those eagles that are out on those rocky crags out there, when the storm front billows and that front pressure is coming through, they will not stay and cower like other birds. They will go out because those big wings will allow them to ride those tempestuous winds, those upheavals, those updrafts, and it will allow them, with no effort of their own, to just come right up over the top of a storm. Do you know what is not going on above a storm? Problems. To one that is natural in the air, that one that can fly is one that can rise above any of the storms. Oh, do you have storms in your life? How many in our church family over the last year have had cancer diagnosis? How many within our church family or immediate family of church family members have had job losses? Have had difficulties? And the answer is many. All storms are everywhere. The most common refrain I hear is, Pastor, would you pray for? That's usually, in my mind, I immediately say, there's a storm going on. The provision of strength to that one who is patiently waiting for God's empowerment is that they, in the midst of a storm, do not have to flutter their way through it. They just need to spread their wings and rise above it. That's what the picture is here in verse 31. Well, if I just flap a little bit harder, I can get through it. No eagle would enter a storm that way, if you read, study, or watch them. They love to just glide. I was watching the golf tournament yesterday, and there was a plane in New York that was flying, and there was a bald eagle flying over top. And you know, for the 3 minutes that they probably watched that thing throughout the round, that thing never moved its wings. It just floated. It's a marvelous thing that God gives to us. And what Isaiah says here is, look, you and I in the times of stress need to just fly to the Lord, certainly, but in that, spread our wings and let Him lift us up above the storm front. The Lord uses the eagle to depict how we lean on His provision. That eagle loves the storm. He rises above the tumultuous updraft, knowing that the clearing is only a bit higher. The closer we get to the Lord, the less the storm affects us. That's the objective. The provision of strength for us is to just rise above the storm, not sit in the middle hunkered down. You may have to. Sometimes it feels like you're in the boat. But the way to remove the stress is to say, God, this is in your hands. I have to just go above the storm. And you're above the storm. They shall fly over the storms. The second we find is that they run. I put in my notes, they're always running from deadline to deadline. Does anybody feel like that? I always think, when I think of those people that are always running, all of you that work on the line at Toyota, any of you that work in the manufacturing, man, you're rolling a car every 52 seconds. Get her done. I mean, here it comes. There's another one. You're always got a deadline. You got a deadline literally every minute. I can't imagine how stressful. Now, I know that there's rote repetition, and you get in a muscle memory pattern, but there's a deadline. There's deadlines for all of our homeschooling parents and all of our other parents who are now homeschooling parents. Oh, the Lord has a sense of humor. The deadlines of life are the things that keep us on the run, are they not? Well, I got to get to this. I got to get that done. Oh, this deadline's coming. Oh, I have this thing. Oh, there's a birthday. Oh, there's an anniversary. Oh, there's Christmas coming. Oh, there's Thanksgiving. Oh, there's decorations. There's always some kind of deadline we got to meet. These are the necessary things that must be done. But they're also the things that we never seem to have enough time to complete. You ever notice that? Oh, there's just not enough time. How many of us have said that? All of us have said that at some point in our life. Now, I will add this. Deadlines are a good thing because they keep us working. Don't live in stress because you're lazy. That's not what this verse is teaching. He says here, they shall run and not be weary. In other words, they have a management on their deadlines, understanding who's in control of their time on this earth. Those who are constantly pressed by deadlines of work, the deadlines of family, oh, and yes, even the deadlines of church and that evil, cruel pastor that asked you to do something, it's just always going to have to get done. I don't know how I'm going to do it. That's a deadline too. And it's a stressor. Church can be a stressor. Oh, it can be. The provision of God is given to you to strengthen you and enable you to work to accomplish even those deadlines. Now remember this, there's always enough time in a day to accomplish all that God wants you to do. Oh, that's a big statement, isn't it? There's a lot of things we do that God says, well, I didn't want you to do that. You're just running on a hamster wheel. You're not getting anywhere. Now you got to get off the hamster wheel and actually go run to what you needed to do, and you're in trouble. It's the one warning I will give, since the teenagers aren't in here. Parents, if you let your kids constantly play video games at the detriment of finishing work, you're teaching them to be a hamster on a wheel, running, busy, losing time, and not getting things done. You say, oh, Pastor, you sound like there's a message in that. There probably is. So we understand then that there are those that fly above the storm. There are those that run to the busy deadlines of their everyday life. But then there's finally those that walk. These are just the routine, mundane things of life, aren't they? I mean, if I'm walking, I'm not in a hurry. I'm just walking, right? Now, if I'm Edward, I walk like this, you know, and it's very busy like this. You know, I don't know how he does it. But a walk is a mundane, routine thing, unless you're from South Africa. But isn't this where most of our stress actually comes from? The routine? The mundane? This is where most of us struggle. It's in the small things that we fail to do that cause us to feel like failures, which adds to our own personal stress. The routine, friend, is meant to be mundane because it's in the small things that God proves us for the bigger things. The storms and the deadlines feel more important, but may I say to you from the Word of God, they are not. It's the walk that God constantly brings us back to, not the run. Well, but Pastor Paul talked about running the race. Yes, he did. That was the finish line of his life. And he had run his race. But Paul wrote a lot about the walk we have with Almighty God. The Christian life is a walk. It's not a storm. And while life is a race, it's only a race because there is a prize at the end of it for those who are faithful. The day-by-day living is likened in the Word of God to a walk, and that's where we must release the stress to God. If we can learn to live stress-free in our mundane everyday life, we can easily meet the deadlines and we can easily rise above the storms because we will have everyday practice in dealing with stress. I was reading after an author and he said this, "In the times of adversity, we soar like an eagle. In times of opportunity, we run like an athlete. In times of necessity, we keep walking in the Spirit." And that's the secret to living stress-free. Well, how do we do it? The one word given to us in verse 31 is renew. The word means to change or to exchange. The Christian, then, in this life and all of the problems that we face in this life are to be exchanged. We turn those problems in this life in and over to God through Christ in His Holy Spirit so that He can solve the problems and we don't have to. We just keep being faithful in the things we know that we must do. Ephesians 6 and verse 10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power or the enablement of His might." Galatians 2 and verse 20, I read it the other day in the morning worship hour, but I'll read it again. "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." I live my life through Christ. What brings us finally to a preeminent solution? The provision of strength would seem to be the solution, but it's what we're given. Who is the real problem solver of stress? And the answer is God Almighty. And what He's given to us at the end of chapter 40 is what He's given to us beginning in verse 6 throughout all of chapter 40, and that is a comparison and a contrasting to His power and ability and our frailty and weakness. We could start really at any verse from verse 6, but we can pick up our reading tonight in verse 25. "To whom then will you liken me, or shall I be equal?" Man, that is a great question from God. You want to try to answer it? You're going to create stress for yourself. The simple answer is nobody. Nobody compares to you, God. You're the incomparable God. "To whom then will you liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number, and calleth them all by names, by the greatness of His might, for that He is strong in power. Not one faileth." What is He talking about? The stars of heaven. He's saying, look up there. Who put them there? I did. Whatever your problem that is stressing you out right now, it's not that big a deal. God's not saying you're not a big deal or that you're not important. What He's saying is, if you will just put your eyes on me, if you will just trust in me, if you'll just come under the shelter of my wings, if you'll come under my care and my provision, none of those stressors are going to be there anymore. None of them. "Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God?" He doesn't see my problems, Jacob said. By the way, anytime you find in prophecy the name Jacob, you know that he's talking to them in their unrepentant state. you and I, in our sinfulness, because of the stressfulness that we feel, are crying out or lashing out at God. Have you ever done that? That's where I find myself many times. Verse 27 is a good one. That brings us into the verse that we read at the beginning. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. You can't even fathom what he begins to know. His ABCs are greater than the most refined thinking of humanity. The depths of our knowledge don't even begin with his ABCs and 1, 2, 3s. He is the preeminent solution to your stress problem. Don't believe me? Go over to Psalm 62. Oh, this is a great Psalm of David who was in great stress. You will hear some statements about waiting on the Lord that are instructive for us. Truly, my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation, verse 1. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly, Selah. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him all at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us, Selah. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto him, unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work. The preeminent solution, friend, is the Creator God who is your Savior God. He's the one that will help sustain you amidst the stresses of life. One verse, three thoughts, and we're done this evening. Proverbs 8 and verse 34. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my door. Well, the proverb there is of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 8 is great. It's a wonderful passage. It talks much of wisdom and the high value and virtue that we get in coming to God's wisdom. But in this verse alone, he teaches us how we can wait upon him, how we come to him, how we find that solution to that stressful situation. How we do it is this, threefold. First, we must listen to him. Blessed is a man that heareth me. Second, we must look to him, watching daily at my gates. Third, we must live for him, waiting at the posts of my doors. Where is God in his holy temple? Where is God in his people? In other words, as we live for him in the life that we now have, it is in those three areas, by listening, by looking, and by living for him, that the stress of this life just melts away because we have a higher purpose. We're not distracted by the mundane temporal things. That's what he says here back in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 25 through 29. Put your focus and attention on me. Set your affection on things above, Paul said in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2 and 3. If we, friends, will wait upon the Lord, he will renew our strength. That's a promise. I have no doubt that there are a lot of people who have a problem with stress. Because I'm one of them. But I also know that the problem of stress is solved through the provision of his strength and the preeminent solution that God always gives. Notice there's no prescribed solution. God doesn't have a one-size-fits-all solution to your stress problems. But he does have a solution to stress, and it's him. That's the solution to all that's pressing in on you. Whether it's money, whether it's your finances, whether it's your physical health, whether it's your family. Whatever stress is upon you in life, it can be mitigated by coming back and waiting with patience. Given that power, you will either fly, you will run, or you will walk to great success in your spiritual life. Father in heaven, I thank you for the day that we've had. I can say with the writer in scriptures, it's good to come into the house of the Lord.